1, 2, 3.
Game on, game on, it's game time. Excellent. Game on, game on, it's game time. Excellent.
Yes, hello, here we are, we're back, another weekly show for episode 2. It doesn't quite work, oh, not episode 2, episode 3, I can count without taking my shoes off, it's all good. Episode 3 of 2022 doesn't quite have a good ring as episode 2 of 2022, like last week.
Oh, you want it back again.
I do, I want it back. I mean, I'm seriously considering moving the podcast to a Tuesday night for next week, so we can have it on the 22nd of the 2nd, 2022.
Tuesday.
That's right, Tuesday.
Tuesday, my friend.
Mm-hmm. It's just in my head. I really kind of want to do it now. And I might just do a show on my own and just for that date, you know.
Do it. Mate, at the end of the day, the world's your oyster, straight. Mm-hmm. You know, we only live once. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's the sky's the limit. Carpe diem, seize the day. You got to take everything you can.
The only person that's stopping you is yourself.
Yes, there you go.
That's it.
That's what I was trying to say.
I was letting Pete go just to see how many of those cliches he could bring out before he stopped.
I have a list. Actually, you hear something funny? And I need to find this guy. I need to find him. But in terms of like motivation, there's a guy that I found. His name is Ken Dorfins.
Oh my god! Yeah, endorphins. Yeah.
You guys know what endorphins are, don't you? They're good things. They're food for your soul. They're the things that we get when we play video games. But his name is Ken Dorfins, and he's just full of really good motivational anecdotes, and I could use some of those now because it's so fucking hot in my garage.
Yeah. 22 degrees, climate controlled. Yes. Yeah. And I've needed it today. I really have. I got up pretty early this morning because it's Star Wars release day for SWTOR. They had their new expansion come out, and I was debating in my head whether I was going to stay up overnight and play it because the was supposed to release at 2 a.m. our time, and I just really wanted to play it. So I considered staying up, but I thought, no, I should get at least a few hours sleep. And then when I did, the 2 o'clock alarm went off, and I rolled over and my body laughed and hit snooze and went back to sleep again for a while. And I got to say, I'm glad I did because the patch time took a bit longer than was advertised. So by the time I actually got out of bed, it was ready to go. And so I played that today. It was, I did a 6-hour stream before lunchtime.
Oh, mate, 6 hours before lunchtime. Jeez.
Good fun, though. I was really enjoying it. They've introduced this new... they call it combat style. So rather like before, each class used to be different with their skill sets. So now the classes are sort of more defined by the story, and those abilities can be used like on pretty much any character that you want, which is pretty hardcore. I like that. What have you guys been playing?
I can't get into this SWTOR.
I can't do it.
I've tried so many times, and I don't know if I'm suffering from the, you know, it's like people who try to get into Destiny now when we've had like 15 years of Destiny and they haven't been there since vanilla. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case with me with SWTOR, but I just can't, I load in and I have a look around and I just look out over the landscape and just see, Just off in the distance is just a shit ton of stuff. And I, you know, once upon a time, I think when I had a lot more time up my sleeve to just sit on my ass and play games, I reckon I would have looked at all that and I would have been frothing. But now I just look at it and I go, fuck, that looks like a lot of hard work. That looks like so much hard work. There's so much going on there. But just speaking of Destiny, that's what I picked that up again today, mate. You know why? Because Lich is coming. Ooh, yeah. And so, yeah, I just thought to myself, you know, I'll pick it up and just find out what's going on. And I don't think I've touched Destiny 2 for, oh, God, it's got to be. And I reckon properly touched, like a really good bloody touching. And
I know all about really good touchings. Yep.
Well, for over a year. I reckon for over a year. I know.
A long time.
Dirty boys told me. And I just, first and foremost, it just loaded me into this thing where I was like, what the fuck is going on? I'm with half a dozen other people and I just started shooting. And I'm playing on Xbox on the Series X and I just started shooting. There's just shit happening around me. And then I got hit by a grenade. And then I went, oh, yeah, now I remember. This is just constantly me, like, running around for 30 seconds trying to shoot things, sporadically spraying, missing everything, and then waiting for somebody to revive me. So, you know, that's the fun. So that was good. And then, mate, the same thing, loaded into that map. And because I haven't touched Destiny for a long time, again, it's just new shit. There's just stuff everywhere. There's stuff everywhere in that bloody thing, and I don't even know where to start.
I don't know if I've got the strength to go back to it again. I did give it a good crack a while ago, but that's a commitment and a half. So I'm already applauding you for dipping your toes back in.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much, Stormy. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
You know what I did try? You guys are going to laugh at this. You know what I did try to play before that? I tried to play It Takes Two.
Oh, my God. How was that?
Well, shit ass, because you need two people. And it was,
I was just going to say, did it Liz, like, try and load in with you, or how did that go? Because, you know.
I thought to myself, like, I've heard a lot about this game in terms of just the, you know, the general sort of gist of people going, hey, it's a great game, you should play it, but I haven't looked too much into it, and it's on Games Pass. So I downloaded it the other day, and surely, I don't know, I think the optimist in me just kind of thought, I know it's a game that says It Takes Two, but maybe, just maybe, you can play solo and they computer up the, you know, they AI the other. Nah, you can't even get past the title screen.
No.
Bullshit.
Did you get very far at all, or did you just, like, go, oh, I'm going to try and attempt to do this?
Well, you know, I was really dumb, right?
With two controllers.
I didn't get that far. And I went, like, I hit A, got to the next screen where it shows you little avatars, and, you know, it's got player two there saying, hey, like, press player two. Hi! I'm going! Hype train's up. Thank you, guys. So got that up and going, and then I just sort of sat there just looking at the screen for a bit, just looking around, just trying to see if I've missed something. And I pressed A a few more times, and then X, and X didn't work, so I pressed Y, and then Y didn't work. So I pressed A again, and A didn't work, and I thought, you know what, I think I'm done here. And so I got out, guys, I got out. An anonymous cheerer. Hi, an anonymous cheerer, with your two cheery cheers there. And Raven Sky, thank you.
And thank you, Gamma and Drop Bear, Oxalicia, and Raven Sky for the resubs as well. We love to see it. Love to see it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's my what you've been playing. I mean, really, and I don't know if this happens to you guys, but technically what I should be doing, look at that, more bloody shit, Drop Bear, you beauty. Technically what I should be saying in terms of what I've been playing is the Games Pass library. That's what I should be saying. That's what I'm playing. Because I spend more time flicking through the games on Games Pass than I do actually playing them.
I feel like I'm spoiled for choice in Game Pass. It's almost too overwhelming.
There is way too much choice.
Yep.
Yeah, like I was saying last week as well, and I'll say it again because I am still playing it. It's almost become an addiction at this point because it's like the first thing I do in the morning and the last thing I do before I go to bed is play Hades. And Hades is also on Game Pass, but I've been playing it on my Switch. And I'm very proud to say after, I think last week, I'd only beat Hades once or twice. I've beaten him about 7 or 8 times now. I'm trying to do like a completionist kind of run. So I know there's more to do after I defeat him again. I think 10 times and you get the credits. But yeah, just been solely addicted to that. Still dabbling in The Witcher and new season of Apex. And then I got to play Paparazzi, which is my debut review on GameAndLaws.com.
Go check it out.
Also on Game Pass.
That old thing.
Shameless plug. Also on Game Pass as well, if anyone's looking for something really relaxing. That is the cutest darn game I've played in a long time.
So what's the Cliff Notes about it? I want to know about this Paparazzi because it sounds fascinating.
It's gonna sound very strange initially, but well, actually it doesn't. It sounds simple, but there's a bit more to it. So you're basically a photographer and your job in this social media world that we live in is to become a popular photographer, can I say, maybe? I don't know.
Did you say popular? Is it because you're a dog?
No, you're not a dog, actually. You're a camera. And I didn't realize that until I put on the selfie mode and you're just a camera with the legs is the neck strap of the camera, which is really funny. It's not a spoiler or anything. But anyway, your job is like you have certain different areas on the map and there's different objectives for you to find. You have to, at the beginning, it's easy. You've got to take a portrait photo of a dog or you've got to take a photo of a dog with a toy because you can at the dogs and you can give them toys and stuff to play with and you've got to pose them just right. But as it gets a bit later in the game and when you start opening up more levels, they get very specific and they want you to look for particular things around these maps that get gradually bigger and bigger. I'm stuck on one bit at the moment. I have to find a hot dog and I have to put the hot dog in a pond and take a photo of it, but I don't think I've found the right pond or I'm just chucking it in some kind of puddle or something like that. Anyway, really, really fun, very relaxing, very cute, and it's on Game Pass. So if you're looking for something to kick back with and take your time with, you should definitely play Paparazzi.
Paparazzi.
I know. What a good game.
I'm feeling bad there because I just tried to remember the Lady Gaga song Paparazzi and try and sing Paparazzi to it, but I couldn't remember how it went.
Well, it's can't keep my. Oh no, hang on.
That's Poker Face. That's exactly where I went as well.
Can't be my. Well, okay. I've even got that. I've got the wrong song but the wrong lyric. Can't be my. Can't be my. No, you can't be my poker. No, can't beat. For fuck's sake. All right. Well, forget that. So it's paparazzi.
There we go. That's it.
Aware of me. I don't know, something like that.
There we go. And we got some feedback from chat. Gamma's been dabbling in some Sifu. I've seen some good things about it. It's like an old school brawler, but a bit more in depth with its combat. It looks pretty cool.
It's really tricky.
And WWE 2K22. Oh. Drop Bear's thinking of giving Cyberpunk another crack with the next series. That when my tongue starts working again, the next gen updates is coming through.
Now, I think it was Zulu, our own Royce Wilson, who dropped in our writers chat. So we've got in our Discord, we've like our crew, our core content team has a very different bunch of channels where we work together on stuff. And yes, the new patch is out for Xbox Series X and PS5 with quite a few fixes. And on Xbox, at least, there's a 5-hour trial. I don't know if that's the same on PS5, but on Xbox, there's a 5-hour trial of the new patch update, which I think is a really good idea. because I still hold hope that this is a game that one day I'll come back to. I still genuinely do. For me, it's the No Man's Sky rule. It's like they started here, but don't count them out if they keep on working on it. At some point, hopefully, they'll get to where it is that they want to get to. Sifu, I want to get into Sifu at some point as well. That was a lot of fun. I tried with the advent of Horizon Forbidden West coming up. I tried to reinstall and play Horizon Zero Dawn. And I haven't played my PlayStation 4. So in my house, I play the Series X and my daughters have the PlayStation 4 in their playroom. And they use the PlayStation 4. And I think along the way they've done something to cook the PlayStation 4. Because I have not played my PlayStation 4 with a CD in it for quite some time. Like a long, long bloody time. Like God of War, long time. And I went back to Horizon and I popped it in today because I had half an hour up my sleeve. And the thing spattered back out and it turns out my PS4's busted.
No.
Oh, and I'm really disappointed.
However, will you play Zero Dawn now?
I just don't know if I will.
Yeah, because I know it's been on your list for God knows how long now. It's wanted to get back to it. And now you can't.
And can I just say thanks so much to the outpouring of support in chat right now? Mm. With Resonance saying, oh, no, and Natty saying, no, with like seven O's. And Drop Bear saying, that's how my 360 died. I appreciate that, Drop Bear, but this isn't about you. This is about me. And Gamma saying, that sucks, Pete. So yeah, well, Styx reckons, oh, well, time to get a PS5. Sure, man. I get a PS5. I'll just whip $750 out of my ass and go and magically get a PS5 to appear. Oh, it's so sweaty in here. I can feel all these sweat. Seriously, I can't even begin to tell you guys. Look, I don't know if you can see it in my shirt. Can you see in my shirt?
Yeah.
Look. I've just got beads of sweat just running down everywhere because I'm in the hot box.
It was funny because I think I've forgotten, because I had been inside for the most part in the last week, and I went a little bit like method acting almost with my excitement for Horizon on Friday, that I actually went and did an archery lesson with my sister and my partner at Whiteman Park. But like our session was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, where is everyone? And I got out of the car and I was like, oh shit. I was like, it's really hot. And they're like, yeah, we had so many people rock up this morning. And I was like, okay, well, this makes a lot of sense now. But yeah, it's atrocious, isn't it?
You got to just do stuff in the morning at the moment here in Perth.
God, I just
do things in the morning.
Person.
It
was like 9 o'clock and it was already 30 degrees. Mm. And I was like, no, I'm not going out.
I have been in this room 99% of today with my aircon on. I've gotten out a couple of times, like to get lunch, go to the toilet, do that sort of stuff. And as soon as I've walked out of this room, I've gone, Jesus, bloody hot in the rest of the house. And I went out to check the mail later on, and I went, I didn't even get outside. I opened the door and went, no, it's not happening. No, I'm going back into my air-conditioned office and I'm going to sit here and play some more SWTOR and think about trying to play some Lost Ark because I started playing that the other night, which was a mistake, and now I've got two MMOs that I really want to play.
Uh-oh.
This is how hot it is in Perth, for those of you listening to this or watching this right now. It is so hot in Perth.
How hot is it?
I went to open Doom and I couldn't do it. Because the thought of playing a game with lava in it, in this fucking heat, just did me in. That's how hot it is.
I was playing Hades and Zacharias was like, oh, it's a bit hot here. And I was like, you're telling me. I was like, I'm like sweating watching you go through these lava pits and these magma monsters. I'm like, it's hot here. Like, come here. Basically, this is what it would be like in the underworld. I think this is how hot it is.
This is where Satan comes for a holiday.
Well,
But have you guys played Lost Ark yet? I want to talk about this because I had a lot of fun playing it, and I want to see if you guys have played it too.
No, I haven't played it.
I'm interested, but I realize I'll lose so much time to it. But I'm interested to know what you think about it so far.
Well, I think the important thing to come first up with is that it's free to play on Steam.
Yeah, but how much free to play? Point do you get to where it goes, oi, chuck some money in me?
I don't know. I haven't come across that yet. I played it for a few hours and, yeah, things pretty free. Because it's a Korean action RPG MMO and it seems it's been out for a while, but it's just gotten a Western release. So the studio, I forget what, Smile something is the studio that made it, and they've teamed with Amazon to bring it up over here. And it's had, you could say, a pretty successful release. They beat the most concurrent players record on Steam. So just a little bit of success there.
A little bit.
It's really cool fun. And I'm going to say this, and please bear in mind it's coming from a spot of not actually having played a whole lot of Diablo, but it feels a lot like I think Diablo feels. Like, it's just... The classes are good. You can actually try the classes with some demo monsters before you select them, so you know what the classes play like. You can I went with a martial artist to start with, and I wasn't really having all that good a time with it. But then I moved on to a sharpshooter, which is like a bow and arrow type thing, and oh my god, is it so much fun! It's just, you take on hordes of enemies, and just the crowd control and damage you can do is amazing. I'm loving it.
That's what I think I need at the moment. Like, of all of the games that I have been flicking around with the last sort of couple of weeks, I'm in this weird like game space of mine. I don't know if this happens to you guys, where I don't need story. I don't need anything complicated. I just need a shit ton of enemies to shoot, and I need a good excuse to shoot them. Actually, I don't even need a good excuse to shoot them. Just put them in front of me, put a gun in my hand. That's where I'm at. I'm even contemplating playing multis on Call of Duty. I'm shit ass. I'm terrible. I'm an average 0.5 KD ratio. I'm shocking. Absolutely shocking. I apologize to people in the lobby for being on their team when they matchmake with me. It's like, guys, I'm really sorry.
Did you end up finishing Hyrule Warriors?
No, I didn't. No.
Because if you just want to, like, beat up hordes of enemies, there you go. There's a game you could go back to and just beat the shit out of everybody.
You're right. That is a game I could jump on. Lost Ark is currently ranked 15 out of 133 for all MMOs. Total players is 12.76 million. And daily players, it's hitting 1.21 million.
Mm. Yeah,
pretty good for launch.
The concurrent record they broke, they had 1,297,896 players, which broke Dota's record. Yeah.
Dota!
Yep. Well, that was pretty amazing, I thought.
Is it the sort of game that's going to keep you hanging around, though? Like, are you going to, you know, free-to-plays are interesting. Free-to-plays are like, I don't know. I don't know if it's because of the psyche of having a free-to-play game, but I don't last very long with them.
No, I must admit I don't either. And it's fun at the moment. And like I said, it would probably keep my attention if SWTOR hadn't just released their expansion today and I'm gone hard back into that. So,
SWTOR.
Yeah, SWTOR. But,
Zotar.
Oh, yeah, was it Zoltan?
Yeah. It was Zoltan.
Yeah. For those of you that remember, Dude, Where's My Car?
That's cool. Check it out.
Yeah. So, and like I said, it's free. It is a rather hefty download. It's like 50 gig download. But yeah, it was good fun. I was enjoying my time in that. But yes, I can see it becoming a flavour of the month, as Minthonzo likes to say. Like, just look at New World. Like, how big was New World when it launched? And they're already talking about they've had such a drop off in player base that they're talking about retooling the game already, like a 2.0.
Mm.
And that wasn't released that long ago. So
yeah, but maybe this is a bigger chat. And I don't know if this is something to necessarily get into on this you know, tonight's ep. Mm. But maybe this is a bigger chat around, maybe we just have too much to play.
It's
the thing. Like, I feel like every week there's a new MMO. You know what I mean? Or there's a new RPG, or there's a new AAA game that I should be getting stuck into. And I know, Natty, sure, we work too much. And that's a bloody good point. We do. We do work too much. But we are so spoiled for choice. When I was – Christ, okay. I'm going to get all old man yells at cloud here. But when I was younger and I had the Nintendo 64 and I feel like the games were big enough to be, holy shit, this is amazing and there's so much to do here, yet small enough to be able to complete it in 25 hours, 30 hours and feel like you got something out of it. Whereas these days, especially with the advent of so much subscription-based games as a service games, it just feels like we've got so much to do and so much to keep up with. Mm. And the only way I reckon that you could ever keep up with it is for it to be your full-time job. And even then, I still think you're struggling.
Yeah, I agree.
I would take that one step a bit further and say there are too many free games. So, and I'm going to use free in inverted commas there, because like when you've got Games Pass, you've got that many games on offer there that you're spoiled for choice. You get things like Final Fantasy 14, The Old Republic, and now Lost Ark. They all have free to play options. So it, and yeah, a lot of the time for the MMOs, it's there to hook you. Like SWTOR's free to play only goes up to, I don't think it covers the last two or three expansions. So it's there to hook you in. But all those games still offer you something. And it's an interesting thing because, yeah, you get like that. Like I sit down at the end at the day and I go, what do I want to play? And like we said earlier, like we scroll through Netflix to try and find something to watch. We're doing that with Games Pass now, and we're doing that with our games library and going, oh, what do I want to play? And in the end, you probably just go, oh, I don't know anymore, and go and do something else, yeah?
Natty, yeah, as well, like saying, like the big FOMO that you get, especially like when you're on things like the Twitterverse and things like that, and everyone's raving, or, you know, reviews come out and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is the next big thing. And like, you don't feel like you should, but you feel like you need to get in on that excitement that everyone else has for something new. I know personally for me, I struggle, like, as a streamer just to have one game to commit to, because I feel like there is just so many other different titles that I either haven't played still yet that have been around for ages, or there's something new that's coming out and I feel obliged to have to play it because it's the new hot thing. It's such a mix of different things that make you go, oh my god, I just don't have time for all of it. I think, like what both of you said, we're just so spoiled for choice. It's incredible.
So you spoke there about how when all the hype comes up through social media about that, like, so you might get reviews that say, wow, this game is really good. But what happens when you find a game, well, find a review where it's maybe not as even just not as, not even negative, just not as glowing as all the others? Like, does that have a huge effect if everything else is saying that it's great?
Weird thing. I described to, because I'm like the gamer in my family and to my family friends and stuff like that. So I always say to people, like, I compare games to movies because not everyone's going to have the same taste. not everyone's favorite movie, favorite game is going to be somebody else's. It's this weird, it's some weird kind of line where you're either with, I don't know, it's a really, I know where you're about to go with this, but it's a really hard thing not to look at a good review or bad review and have that deter you. I try not to let that happen to me too much. Because I think once you have it in your hands yourself, you can make that final call and that final judgment. But I do think, you know, when you see those scores that go on those posters and those video promos that you see for the game as well, it's very, you know, again, it's that FOMO. It's like, oh my God, there's a number on this. I have to, or I really need to stay away from it. And it's hard because, again, not until you have it in your hands, you made that judgment for yourself. And there's definitely games I know that my friends don't like that I like and vice versa. It's, yeah, it's a interesting topic of conversation.
Mm. The reason I bring it up, it got pointed out once again, Zulu, Royce Wilson was talking about it in our secret writers Discord that we have for Goa. A writer, and I'm going to butcher this name because I always butcher this name, at Stevivore.
Survivor.
There we go.
I mean, it could be Stevivore. It could be a person who just likes eating Steves.
That's right. Yeah. And until you've heard it said out loud, but you know, you don't know. It's a problem when you only read it. That's right. But yeah, one of the reviewers there reviewed Horizon Forbidden West, which our own Grumpy Goron did a review on GameOnOz.com, where you can read that right now as well and see his impressions. And in fairness, most of the reviews on Horizon Forbidden West have been good. They've been positive. This particular review, he didn't like it. And reading the review, he says his reasons for it. And to me, they're fairly well justified with what he said. He says there's a focus ability in there apparently that made it too easy to do the puzzles, and like the character itself would say hints pretty easy, well, pretty early on when he's just starting to try and figure things out. And he didn't like that, and that's fair enough. But what's come about after that is a whole heap of abuse that's been leveled at him, calling him like, and it happens both sides of the fence, but coming out calling him a Microsoft fanboy because this was a Sony game that he didn't like. And it just, I have a hard time with those sorts of people.
Yeah. And look, mate, at the end of the day, I have a very simplified view of this, right? And my simplified view of this is that you're on the internet, you're going to cop shit. And it sucks, and I wish it wasn't that way, but at the end of the day, we ply our trade in a medium or in a space where the worst of the human race are allowed to speak freely. And unfortunately, that is going to invite shit. And in this job, you got to be thick-skinned. I admire Job. The thing that I admire Job for is that he put up his review unashamedly and unapologetically, and he backed himself in. The thing that I will point out, though, was there was something that I thought was a bit silly. And shout out to the Survivor team because I admire them. I love what they do. I think they've built a really great brand over there, and they do wonderful things. And this is not a criticism intended to be personal. This is just an observation of the situation. And that is, like, the Steve, who, and I'm going to try and find it, but the Steve, as in Survivor Steve, came out and retweeted Job's tweet, and said, we didn't get a code from Sony. Now, I don't know if that was a great thing to do, because to the open uninvited who have freedom of speech, unfortunately, on an open platform like Twitter, where the worst of it comes out, you're just basically throwing Job to the wolves. It read like, we didn't get a code from Sony for Horizon, so fuck them. That's, you know, and I know that he would not have meant that. He just would have been like opening up the situation and showing the play. That's what he would have been doing. But I just thought I just felt it was so unnecessary to have to say that Sony didn't give you a code. Like, we don't get codes for shit all the time. And it's not, you know, it's not up to Sony or Xbox or whatever to give us a code. Like, you know, we don't get into this job with the expectation. Like, you can't, because you'll bloody go crazy. But for him to come out and basically openly say, well, you know, they didn't give us a code, I just kind of went, throwing Job into it.
Mm. Natty's linked the tweet in chat here, and the tweet from Steve was, silver lining, Sony chose not to provide Survivor with pre-release access, so he had the opportunities to support Australia's freelance community instead. So it sounds like he tried to do the right thing, but also had a shot at Sony at the same time, which is not ideal. Yeah.
Sam feels like a passing blow at Sony on the way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a little drive-by there. I'm just going to read that tweet again. Hang on. Silver linings. Yep. So, you know, so we had the opportunity to support Australia's freelance community instead by, like, getting somebody the game, or, like, getting them to review the game on Survivor's platform. And that's how I'm going to read that.
Yeah, that's how I read it too. The Job had the key already, and Survivor's engaged him to write the article as a freelancer.
So I think a lot of people didn't read it like that though either. Like,
that's the thing.
I think a lot of people didn't read that, and I think people just saw the review and went, 6.5, that's shit. What are you doing? This is games better than that.
Another thing I discussed with a really dear friend of mine who also writes reviews is, because you'll see, and it was terrible to watch, or not watch, but read, just kind of going through that initial tweet from the writer themselves when they posted the review and all the responses on there. We were discussing, you know, us as, like, when we go to write our reviews, and I know Game On doesn't have a numerical system, but I've had to work with one before, where, like, you could give something like a 9, and then when you go to review something else, it's like, oh, but is that the same kind of 9 I want to give that, or is it more of a 7? And people are picking at this person or Survivor's other reviews of other games and things like that too, and kind of going back on what we're all saying. We all have different tastes and different opinions on things, but when people start to nitpick and, you know, some really annoying, and it makes me quite cross when people have, I can see like an image here and they've put side by side of like the general, like, average score and then what Survivor did next to it, and really picking at those numbers. Like, it makes me so cross, because
It's cherry picking to fulfill your prophecy. Yeah. Is what it, like, there's, I'm looking at one now that, you know, this bloke's gone. Alan Wake Remastered 100, Forza Horizon 5 100, Halo Infinite 95, Horizon Forbidden West 65, WTF. Obviously meaning, and a lot of people took that line as well, guys, you guys give Xbox a shit ton of, like, love, and then you don't give PlayStation anything. So, they, you know, but you're not obviously getting the whole story, and people do cherry pick, and that's Twitter. That's Twitter, that's Reddit, that's the, you know, it's people having a voice that probably shouldn't. People tend to just cherry pick to be able to prove their point, which is bullshit. Because if you really dive into Survivor's numbers, then you see quite a consistent execution in their scoring. At the end of the day, it's tough, because there's no rules to reviewing a game. Like, it's such an unregulated industry. It's so opinionated. But
it also has to be that way, because you can't, and it's hard when you come across a good game that you don't like, but you should know enough as a reviewer to know, okay, I like this mechanic is good even if I don't like it. But also, Classic Middleton in chat said the trick is to find a couple of reviewers who have reviews of games that are consistent with what you think. It's good to read an array of opinions, but basically a control reviewer is very handy. And that's right. If you can find a reviewer where 90% or even 60, 70% of what they say you agree with, and 60, 70% of the games that you've bought on their recommendation have been good for you, then you should be listening to them. And if you come across someone that you don't agree with, then go the other way. And I know this is the internet and we don't do that here, and we like to talk about things that we don't like more than we do like sometimes, but I think that's a great philosophy to have. Find reviewers that you like and stick with them.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, the other thing is a lot of people would just simply grab the score and actually open the page and read the review.
Yeah, yep. They just see the number and then that's it.
And, you know, if you read through Job's review, he's very meticulous in the way that he relates it back to what he loved about Horizon Zero Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he paints a really great picture about bouldering, for example, and how Horizon Zero Dawn felt a lot freer than what Horizon Forbidden West does. And, you know, as someone who did play a bit of Horizon Zero Dawn, I really enjoyed that part of the experience of the game, and I think it opened the game right up. And if I'm reading that it's not really the same with Horizon Forbidden West via this review, then I am going to feel like something's been picked out of the game as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah. But look, yeah. At the end of the day, people aren't going to agree with you.
That's right.
In this game, it's whether or not you're thick-skinned enough to cop it on the chin and just get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think luckily in this case it is. Job is thick-skinned enough to get on with it. He's been in the industry for a while now, just a little while, you know. So he knows what it's about. So.
It's still no Fallout 76 Perfect 10.
That's right, sure. You know. Well, what game is?
Far out, Stormy. It's long before your time, Stormy. As part
you've told me about that. It was one of the first things we had a chat about, I remember. It was just so fascinating to listen to.
Yeah.
Oh, where'd he go?
I like crawling in a hole and dying when the feedback on that review came back.
But once again, if you enjoyed it, then
that's all that
you
matters.
Enjoyed it, yeah.
I came at a good time in my life where I needed a game like that, and it just ticked all the boxes for me. But you know what? There's an argument for saying that I reviewed that game emotionally rather than objectively.
Mm.
And so, you know, I copped that criticism on the chin because I did. I reviewed that game emotionally, not objectively. And I've learnt a lot since then. But, I mean, there's more to this. There's more to this in the sense that, and I've only got a couple of more minutes, and then I've got to head off. But shit, it's already almost 6 o'clock here in the West. There's more to this in the sense that, like. With the flood of games that we have and the consistent, yet these days marginal increases in technological capability, software, development, all of that, it feels to me that a number rating system, whilst the feedback from professionals in the industry to me, because we're building a new website, a new game on Oz.com, and we've been talking about whether or not we begin giving numbers to games. And we're quite conflicted as a group of content creators as to whether or not we do, because we never have before. There are positives, there are negatives to both. But the issue continues to come up as to whether or not number scoring really has a place anymore. At least the way that I felt like it had a place when I was a kid reading games. Like, I feel like Super Mario 64 got a 10 and it was a deserved 10 because by comparison to a lot of the other 64 games that I played, it ticked all of the boxes. And it was very easy to see that comparison. Whereas these days, the capabilities and the incapabilities of games can be so nuanced that it becomes incredibly difficult to score something a 9 when it could be an 8, when it could be a 9.5. And also, I feel like the interpretation of those numbers has changed as well. Like, once upon a time, giving a game and reading that a game got an 8 was nowhere near as good as reading a game got a 10. Whereas these days, I feel like if you read that a game got an 8, then that's going to be a pretty good game. You know, it's going to be very minute things that stopped it from getting a 10. Not huge things. Whereas once upon a time, I feel like big things, missing things in a game stopped it getting that 10 and instead gave it the 8. And I'm wary about whether or not numbers still have a place.
I think it's probably a combination of a couple of different things. One being there wasn't as many games back then, so and you had to go to a magazine really to get the scores, so there wasn't as many scores out there either. So you could say a game was a 10, and if a game came along that was not quite so good, you could say it was a 9, and you didn't have that thing where, like Stormy said earlier on, where you think this game is a 9, but I kind of want to give this other game a 9, but it's not as good as that other game. So I think there's some of that going on. I also think it's something of the maturing of the processes and the rules that orgs have around numbers and whatnot. I'm not a fan of them myself either, but I think at this point they are a necessary evil, especially as sort of more a fledgling organization, where if you want to get put on like sizzle reels and stuff like that, it's very hard to be picked for a statement, right? It's much easier to be picked for a score than it is a statement. But also I think something better is more like a rating system rather than a score. So like I look at it for like the completionist who does his YouTube videos where he has like play it, finish it, complete it, and that sort of thing. So I think something like that potentially has more of a place in reviewing than and is probably more a good intermediate step than one or the other.
Yeah. Mm. Sorry, just quickly, and it's a great point that you make, Straight. And my daughter really likes it as well. There's a thumbs up. Classic Middleton has asked the question, what does the panel think about game reviewers who focus on entertainment over being informative? And do you value reviewers by the presentation of their thoughts or their thoroughness? Well, I mean, I think it's a combination. I think because these days for me, and I'm looking at this from a macro perspective as somebody who runs an org, for me, it is so incredibly saturated. The market is so saturated. Reviewers are a dime a dozen, where I think you have to have a point of difference. So you have to be thorough. And I think being thorough is at least the bare minimum, because you've got to be objective when scoring a game. And that comes from being thorough and being discerning and asking those hard questions and, you know, being comparative and all of that. But I think you also have to be entertaining, because you have to do more than just give just a blanket diatribe, you know?
You may as well just put dot points if you're going to just state the facts about it. Yeah,
yeah, just drop a list and give it a number at the end. I think entertaining is what will set you apart.
Yeah, I think anyone could just put out their you know, little piece of information. Yeah, I liked it. I didn't like this. But if there's no kind of substance to it, you've got nothing that separates you from anyone else. So, no, I agree. You need to have a bit of both. I think it's really important. That's what separates those that are entertaining from just regular informative kind of articles.
Yeah, and look, you've got to be entertaining if you want people to keep reading as well. Like, the difference between reading a technical manual on something that says this is how you do this and all that sort of stuff compared to entertaining writing, because you need that. People just don't read things. They want to be entertained by it as well. And there is a fine line and an amazing fence-sitting job to be both informative and entertaining at the same time.
Yeah, you can still be you can be entertaining and still be critical. Mm. I think that's really important.
That's it. Even if it's like throwing in some pop culture references. I do love reading Royce's reviews every now and then, because him and myself both come from the same sort of pop culture stuff. And like I'll see the Monty Python references in there and have a chuckle and keep going. And and if it's just those sorts of little references, if you weave is more the word I was looking for. If you can weave those words through your review, then it makes it entertaining for the audience.
Come right for us, Middo. We don't polish turds here.
That's it.
No matter who gives us the bloody game.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you'll have to excuse me, but I have to get myself off to bed very soon. Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
The joys of a breakfast radio host.
The joys of a breakfast radio host. Mm. I've enjoyed this very much, and I'm looking forward to next week. And I would like to thank Lenovo Legion, our dear friends, NVIDIA GeForce Now, and Quantum Energy, who are all wonderful supporters of the podcast. I'd like to thank the people watching, and you two especially, you two wonderful people.
Thank you to you as well, Pete.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Always.
Can I just quickly say, I have a cheeky little update about Goa Headquarters Studio.
Ooh. Oh, yeah?
Construction has commenced.
Exciting.
A new website and a studio. This is exciting times at Goa.
So excited.
Hey, GY, thanks so much for the sub, man. I did see that. 4 months in a row, you legend. So thank you. And yes, broadcasters stick together, broadcast fam. All right. I'll catch you guys later.
No worries. Thanks, Pete.
Bye. I'm going to have a shower because I'm sweating my balls off. Bye.
I don't know how we're going for time to you.
I think we've probably got time for one more thing. I think I'd like to just quickly touch on the Nintendo Direct, because we spoke about that one last week, because it happened Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure, but
end of last week. I can't even remember what day it was now.
That's it.
I think it's Friday morning.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we made some predictions, and I kind of want to review how we went, because there was a couple in there that I definitely wasn't predicting, but can see how they fit in. I think we mentioned Splatoon 3 and Kirby, because we knew those games were coming. And for me, we mentioned the Advance Wars reboot bundle with Advance Wars 1 and 2, because I'm really, really looking forward to that. Ones we didn't get, like, I was not anticipating Mario Strikers. Like, the Mario Sports games just, they just add that little bit extra.
I think I played the Strikers game on the Wii. Like, I rented it out from, like, you know, the video store or something. I remember, getting that. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. It has such a distinct style, and the artwork for the cover, I know, which is such a very minuscule part of the entire thing, which is always really, really wicked. So yeah, I wasn't expecting to see that pop up again.
And just the sports, the Switch sports in general, like seeing that come back. You know?
Don't even get me started on how excited I am for that, because my family, I'm pretty sure the only reason they still have the Nintendo Wii in their house is for Wii Sports. And then when this got announced, it was just, it just made me so happy. So they're putting in the 6 sports. There's volleyball, football, soccer, bowling, tennis. I think it's called, pronounced Chambara, which is like the sword.
Like the sort of sumo wrestling with swords sort of thing where you got to push people out of the ring. Yeah.
Football, badminton, and volleyball. And then they said that later on they'll be introducing golf. And then I think the registrations are open now for a online play test as well. And I think what's really interesting as well is the sort of thing. I can't get my words. You know, the wacky thing with the what they've done with this one is the game is coming with a leg strap, which is for soccer, football, which I think is really interesting.
I'm really intrigued by that, because I know just to start with, it's just for there's like some kicking mode only in the soccer part of it, but they are going to be rolling out an update where and that's going to be interesting. I can see myself like running on the spot, dribbling the ball.
It's so exciting, and I think like this is where I think with Switch Sports, and I might be going on a bit of a tangent here, but like this is where I feel like Nintendo does so well for families, because I don't know, like for any other previous like Nintendo Wii owners and stuff here, when the Wii first came out with those motion controllers and being able to play tennis and bowling and all of that together, and just and they have online play now for Switch Sports as well, which is really exciting. So just kind of knowing you're all like up and playing is I think really, really exciting and really fun. But yeah, I've already put my pre-order down for Switch Sports and for Kirby as well. Which we already knew about, but obviously they showed more of, and now famous Kirby Car meme.
Yeah, Carby.
Going around.
Carby. Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
A few other things that came out that I wasn't quite expecting. I'm sitting here watching the presentation, and I got distracted by something, so I didn't see the title pop up, and I'm watching this game and going, I'm getting some real No Man's Sky vibes from this game, and then it was No Man's Sky coming to Switch. It's like, well, that would explain the vibes then. That's cool. And Portal 1 and 2 and Assassin's Creed 1 to 3 coming to the Switch, and Force Unleashed as well. There's a bit of a Star Wars nut. I'm interested in that, but as long as it has proper controls, and because I remember back in the day when Force Unleashed first came out, and I was really excited to play it on the Wii, because I'm just thinking, oh, the motion controls with the nunchucks, you'll be able to just do the force push, and it'll push everybody back, and it was terrible. I didn't get through the first level before I took it back to EB and went, can I get this on the Xbox 360 instead, just because I can't handle these controls. So hopefully the controls will be better. And, I mean, they did improve the controls for Skyward Sword, remaster, so that'll be good. But another one that I must admit I didn't see coming, although I had seen some rumours of perhaps Mario Kart 9 coming along, but instead we get this whole whack of DLC.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think I could be wrong here, but I think in Australian dollars it works out to be like just under $40. I think it's about like $37.50. I could be wrong. Someone can correct me on that. But to get that many tracks, it feels like really good value for money. Like, what is it, 48 tracks? And they're coming from the previous Mario Kart titles and stuff too. Like, I mean, I don't know about, like you or anyone else watching this at the moment, but like I still personally, like I've played the crap out of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch, and I never get tired of it, but I think it would be nice to kind of bring it back with a little bit of fresh air with these old tracks coming back. I'm definitely getting that one for myself for sure. So
I think they're using it as a bit of more of a sweetener for the online expansion as well, because that though when they launched it with the Nintendo 64 game, so this is like at the moment it's $30 a year and you get the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo games and I think some Mega Drive games on there. I'm not sure on that one, but then they've released the Nintendo 64 games as well, but it costs extra to get it. But if you do that online expansion, you get the DLC for Mario Kart for nothing. But I'm curious to see if that's you get it for nothing for the lifetime of that membership, or if you have that membership and you get it and it's yours.
I must have missed some of that because I always thought it was a separate DLC, like separation to the subscription.
I think that they've said that you get it when you sign up for this. So yeah, I'm just curious whether it's you have to have an active sub to get it, or if once you're subbed and you get it, then you've got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, there were some good games coming out. Just some other ones with Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Fire Emblem Warriors, which weirdly I think suits that sort of game because there are so many characters in Fire Emblem that I just think that they're going to be good. There's Disney Mario Kart. I mean, Disney Speedstorm. I feel that any sort of racing game that tries to get all their characters is going to get compared to Mario Kart no matter what these days.
Whether it means to or not, it's just going to be like Mario Kart version of, or like the Disney version of Mario Kart.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it should be good. Exciting time to be a Nintendo fan. I was still disappointed there was no Breath of the Wild. I was really hope. I know they said that it was focusing on the first half of 2022, but I really wanted Breath of the Wild news. But I also feel like that's a game that's going to get its own direct.
Yeah, I think so. I think it should have an announcement in its own right because it's that highly anticipated.
I just really, really wanted, though, if they had nothing there, to get Aonuma just pop up there like he did for – there was a few directs ago where he popped up and said – and, like, everybody lost their shit. It's like Breath of the Wild, because he's director of Breath of the Wild. It's like, we're getting Breath of the Wild news. And he goes – first thing he says was, no, there is no Breath of the Wild news, but have Skyward Sword HD instead.
But
I would have loved to have seen that. But but yeah, it would be good to see that. But I think I did quickly want to mention as well that Nintendo announced today that they're shutting down the Wii U and 3DS stores in March 2023. Wii U, I didn't realize that store was still going. Like you, Stormy, we were talking about that beforehand.
When you were like, "Oh yeah, they're shutting down a Wii U store," I was like. But I already done that, and I realised it was for the Wii, so...
Yeah. Having had a little bit of time to think on it, I think why they've announced it at the same time, because there was some integration, like, because I think the 3DS store and the Wii U store are linked, or they're the same store somehow. So while it may be the announcement it's the Wii U and 3DS shop, that's closing down. I think the only reason it's been active for this long is because of the 3DS. Like, because that's even now, like, it's still such a big thing, even though, you know, the Switch is selling more now as well, and they've stopped making 3DSs and whatnot. But I think that's the reason why they're only shutting it down in March of next year. But,
it was always coming.
It was always going to happen.
It's inevitable.
Yeah. But I think that's about it for the Goa Weekly Show this week. Thanks for everybody for joining us. Thanks, Stormy. Thanks, Pete. Great to have a chat with everybody. I'm sure So this one actually went a bit longer than we were expecting tonight, and we've got a leftover topic that we can talk about next week as well. That's great, and there's one less thing I need to think about for next week.
Yes,
it's great. I love it.